Welcome to The Goal is Whole. New creation studies you can apply daily to live complete in Christ. Series 3, focus on community, one together. Part 2, one glorious church. Study 023, spiritual gifts.
Jesus has glorious intentions for his bride, his people, those called out from a fallen race into the new creation. We've already looked in the first two studies about the goal is fellowship together and how we can engage with that through communion, through the bread and the wine together. And then we looked in the second study how important unity is and how it needs to be expressed and how this unity already exists between us, but we need to work on making it real in our midst, preserving that unity. And we looked at a whole list of the one another statements in the New Testament that help with that. So today in this study, we want to move on and look at the spiritual gifts aspect. The new creation is a spiritual entity. It functions in and through spiritual manifestation. And body life is simply an expression of all that Jesus is, a manifestation of his presence, because as we are his body, so we carry his fullness together. And one of the ways this works is through gifts that God gives to manifest through us as a body community. There are two specific passages that I want to look at, different kinds of gifts in the New Testament. One is Romans 12 and the other is 1 Corinthians 12. And the word translated as gift in both of these passages is charisma, which comes from the root word that we translate as grace or cheerful, which is linked strongly to the principle of joy. So we can understand these gifts as joyful manifestations of the presence of Jesus. The Romans 12 gifts are often called motivational gifts. These are like inner passions, or areas where a person flows comfortably like a fish in water. Motivational gifts are mostly to do with our function, the role we play in the body. So Romans 12 verse 4 to 8, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. I don't think this is even an exhaustive list, but Paul is rather just giving examples of manifestations of grace. He says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, there's probably an infinite number of grace manifestations. So we shouldn't try and fit into one of these in the list. Finding out how he's working in and through us is really empowering and liberating. And walking that out can be very fulfilling. Paul's main point in the passage is that we contribute what we have. Each of us is to exercise them accordingly, he said. Body life isn't to be passive. It's constantly a flow of giving and receiving together in community. One of the strong characteristics of this kind of grace expression is that it's something that we carry. It's almost like it's part of our new creation personality, if you like. We develop in certain ways according to the deposit that God puts inside us in the new creation on purpose. Those are the grace gifts of Romans 12. Now let's turn to the second passage, 1 Corinthians 12. The contrast here is that these are gifts that are distributed by the Holy Spirit for specific impact. These aren't gifts that we hold in the same way or carry. They're not really personality based. They're moment by moment manifestations of the Holy Spirit just as he desires. Sometimes we get used to using some of these gifts more than others, so we tend to sense that those are the gifts that we have, but they're not ours to keep in that sense. Another contrast with this list is that they're all supernatural manifestations and they're unique to the new creation. Here's the passage, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God, who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. So these gifts are the work of the Holy Spirit, and we're just the vessels. Notice that these are manifestations of the Spirit for the common good. This is about the community, about the body life, about the unity. And these gifts are just tools that enable us to work powerfully and effectively together in manifesting Jesus. So we don't have time to study all of those gifts together here. So I just want to encourage you to pursue that further, and gathering maybe in group times or other circumstances where there's believers gathered together, learn to participate in the flow of the gifts together. 1 Corinthians 12:31 says, earnestly desire the greater gifts. So we need to go after these. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1, pursue love, yet earnestly, desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So these gifts operate according to how much we desire and pursue them. The whole of 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14 carries in-depth explanation on how these gifts work. We're not going to study all these here, but we do want to just point out some of the key important principles with the use of these gifts. Number one, that all the use of gifts is for the common good, the edification of the body. It's not for self-exaltation or whatever. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 and 14, 12. Gifts work through and with love. And God is not a God of confusion but peace, so the use of gifts should be orderly. And all gifts are subject to the body, and we see this particularly where Paul's talking about prophecy in 1 Corinthians 14:29, when he says, let two or three prophets speak and then let all the others pass judgment. So the key attitude here is this idea of shared discernment, where the body together embraces the flow of gifts between different ones and they seek clarity and truth together. Paul wrote to the Corinthians separately earlier in that letter in chapter 2, 16, where he said, we have the mind of Christ. And the key word there is we. We have the mind of Christ. Not any individual one of us has completely the mind of Christ. It's together. So inns are great safe places to develop in these gifts, where it's acceptable for mistakes to be made in a loving and encouraging environment. Paul states to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:20-21, don't despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good. In the next study in this unit, we're going to look at how body life gatherings can embrace these kinds of spiritual gifts. In closing today, I just want to quickly mention, but not really go into in much detail, the other passage on gifts in the New Testament, different kind of gift, not the same word in the Greek. And this is the gift of mature believers to the body. And Paul lists five. Ephesians 4 verse 11 to 12. He gives some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Notice the two main roles here and the way we seek to embrace both of these in the InVision. First, equipping the saints for the work of service. This is mobilizing in community witness, or what we call empowered outworking. The second, building up the body of Christ. This is becoming the one glorious church, or what we call inspired community. And oftentimes people functioning in these gifts, they've really matured into this role where they build into and build up the church and really encourage and bring people forwards into who they are in Christ. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, we see the example of elders, where they are called to shepherd the flock of God, says here in 1 Peter 5 verse 2, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving rather to be examples. Elders are simply older brothers and sisters in Christ that can live out an example, those that have gone ahead in the faith, so that others can learn from the maturity that they've developed in their walk. So these are the different aspects of the gifts that flow in and through the community of believers, and they're absolutely key for the glorious church to manifest.
The goal is whole. New creation studies you can apply daily to live complete in Christ.